But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I need to confess. I mean, I told Jerry I watched every play of the 2019 season, but I wanted the job. So I haven't watched every play of the season, but it was just, I mean, you do what you got to do, right?
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That's Mike McCarthy back in the day. And our guy Rich Mo checks in. He says, I don't think he likes McCarthy, but he says, McCarthy's a big man. My only hope is that he likes gumbo more than Italian beef.
Because he wants him to end up
exactly.
In New Orleans?
Yeah, that's what that means.
I don't know about that. I think that could be tough. That could be a tough sell. I doubt that he likes gumbo more than Italian beef.
Yeah, he seems more of an Italian beef guy. I will say this. You know, I don't mind a big dude. I don't know. I know people get upset. They want everybody to look like they're ready to.
Like Marcus Freeman?
Yeah.
Ready
exactly.
To go out and
there
make
you
a
go.
Tackle?
That's a great
ready
example.
Ready to go out to join his defense in the huddle?
But to me,
yeah, I don't think you need
a
that.
A big man indicates watching a lot of tape.
Okay.
I'm just watching game after game.
Yeah.
Hey, I've been going through your season. You know, you kind of sit there and you snack while you watch tape.
Yeah, I get that. Hey, look, no problem. You don't evaluate him based on his fitness level.
No.
Or his girth.
You're not running a 40 when you come in.
You want to win games.
Yes.
Yeah, I think he strikes me as the kind of guy that today, you know, midway through the interview, hey, Mike, you want to grab some lunch? Where do you want to go? And he'd be like, Portillo's. Yeah, like, where's the nearest Portillo's? Let's go. And you could see that. And really seriously, you could see him fitting
yeah,
into the Chicago
I
landscape.
I told you. He reminds me. You know, I've met him, and I don't know if he has any impression of me, but my impression of him, just chatting with him, I've said it many times, he's you know, he's from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
The Pittsburgh guys remind me of the Southsiders.
Definitely.
There's just this feeling of just kind of like, hey, how you doing? Like, it's just
you can see McCarthy's opening up on the South Side.
There you go.
You know,
there you go.
A nice Irish bar.
And someone corrected me. I said his dad was a cop who bought a bar. Apparently he was a fireman.
How dare you?
That's a big deal.
I know
there's
it is.
There's a lot of
it's a big difference.
Know,
had I known the difference, I would have corrected you on the spot.
I'm sorry. Because
I would have been offended.
Yes, you would have.
Mike McCarthy is at Hallis Hall today, and I think he'll probably make a very strong impression. He's a football guy's football guy, and he has won a lot of games in his NFL career as a head coach. With the Cowboys, things did not go well this year, but he was coming off three straight 12-victory seasons. What would we do in Chicago if we had a head coach responsible for three straight 12-victory seasons?
Oh, I think, you know.
Have to fire
him. I'd love to get to a point where we complain about what you're doing in the playoffs.
Oh, my gosh, you lost six straight playoff games.
What the hell are you doing?
Oh, my gosh.
You know, that would be great because that's just like a dream in the distance for most of us here in town.
There's interesting symmetry. He obviously – he took over the Packers during the Brett Favre era.
Yep.
He ushered in the Aaron Rodgers era. He coached Aaron Rodgers. They won a Super Bowl together. Obviously, we know Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback that Caleb Williams tried to emulate growing up. Now Mike McCarthy gets to, if he gets the job, he would have the opportunity of developing Caleb Williams into a Super Bowl caliber quarterback. That's why he's here. He was drafted first overall with one primary purpose, bring the Bears a championship.
Yeah, no question about it. That's what you want out of him. And man, they, I mean, I got to be honest with you. If you sit back and you look at his season and you think about what he went through, you might ask a question of the head coach about, or excuse me, of the general manager about, hey, what about all the things that kind of he had to deal with? And then he might say, well, what are they? Name, like, are you kidding? They fired the coordinator. They fired the head coach. I mean, what more could you have to go through?
Yeah.
Do something to make up for it.
Do something to make up for
it. Did, you know, do you come away thinking that he needed that season like Troy Aikman needed to throw picks as a rookie, like maybe, I don't know, Peyton Manning needed in order to eventually
get
to
the Super Bowl? Well, it was interesting, Molly. I am still, as you know, a believer in Caleb Williams, and I think that he had to endure things that were problems not of his own making and not of his own doing. And he was, I think it's unfair to hold him responsible for the kinds of situations he had to endure. And so it affected his production level. That's not an excuse. That's just the reality. So I think when he starts over with a new coach, a new regime, if you will, a new offensive system, then you get excited all over again.
Sure.
I don't know that I don't know if he's going to be as good or better than Jaden Daniels. I think that they're going to be compared throughout the course of their respective careers. Jaden Daniels has everything going right now. He could go into Detroit on Saturday night and beat the Lions. That's how good of a season he has had. Caleb Williams, he's still learning. And it's interesting to me, he'll use this as motivation, I would hope. They announced 6 finalists for the NFL Rookie of the Year on Tuesday. Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix were among them. Caleb Williams was not. That's motivating, because I would not have bought that. I would not have taken that bet back in April. I would not have thought that Bo Nix would play in a playoff game and have a better season than Caleb Williams. And I did not think that Jaden Daniels was going to be the star Pro Bowl caliber quarterback. We were wrong about that. I was wrong about that. But it's got to be very motivating for Caleb Williams to come back in year 2 and have a chance with a new coach, maybe an offensive-minded coach, and start to climb back.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question that's going to trigger you, but I can't help it. Do you believe that the extraordinary breadth of the coaching search, the kind of, what would you call
it? The range?
Yes, is due to the fact, in part, that that didn't exist when they chose the quarterback, that they didn't really look at Jaden Daniels. They didn't really consider him. They didn't really, they zeroed in immediately on one guy, on Caleb. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying he's not going to be a good player, but they didn't look at any other options. They already had their option and they went with that. And are they now, rather than just saying, well, we should hire the guy from the other team in our division because that would damage them, it would improve us, and we could, you know, the logical move is to hire Ben Johnson, but we're going to interview everyone known to man because we didn't look at enough people last time.
It's a really good question. The only reason it would trigger me is because it just reinforces what I have been saying, is that you're dealing with a coaching search led by a general manager who doesn't have the experience, yep, and certainly lacks the confidence to do things his way. Because I do think this is an overcorrection, not only to the way they selected their quarterback, but the way they selected the previous head coach. Ryan Poles was on the job for 5 minutes when he was given, or maybe he was, it's unclear. It's really unclear. Dan Weider has talked to him at 7:25. Yep. But Dan has said that it was Ryan Poles' decision to pick Matt Eberflus among Dan Quinn and Jim Caldwell. And he wasn't necessarily forced to do that. But either way, there were only 3 candidates there at that time. With Caleb Williams, really, there was only one quarterback that they truly considered.
That's it.
So this is an overcorrection to those two things, because so that to me implies, yeah, maybe they're being all-encompassing and the scope is wide because it's the right way to do it. Or it shows me a GM that lacks the confidence in his conviction. And I do believe that's the guy leading this charge. And maybe that's a cynical way to look at it, and I'm sorry if it is, but I don't look at Ryan Poles and see strength. I see a guy that's learning on the job.
312-644-6767 is the number. Our buddy Psycho in Westchester wants to talk about the Hawks for a second, and then we'll get back to the Bears. Hey, Psycho, how are you?
Sorry to change the subject for you, but listen, Darren Pang has every right to say what he had to say. The team is horrible. The backchecking on his team is terrible. There's no forecheck. The goaltenders are terrible. And Foligno was on the other night after a 5-2 debacle, and he said, these guys who don't want to be here shouldn't be here. They're not selling out. They're not blocking shots. He goes, there's guys in this locker room that need to put the effort in and day out. And he says, the effort's not there. I've been watching the Hawks, and I get so frustrated. My wife won't let me watch them because I scream at the Hawks when they're playing. It's just terrible. I mean, the free agents, Brody, get rid of him. I mean, he's done. And Seth Jones doesn't want to be there. And the goaltending's terrible. And let me tell you. I know, Dave, you like Mrazek and what. You know, he was good maybe 5-10 years ago, but he's not the goaltender for the future. He's not. His goals against are terrible, and his save percentage is terrible. And Soderblom, he plays one good game. You think he's going to take the reins, that he's going to be the number one goaltender. Then he gives up 5 goals. The team's terrible. I'm sorry. And
no, Psycho, thank you. Thank you. I think everything you said is valid. It is. Yes. I hate to admit it. He's right. Mrazek's having a bad year. His goal percentage is terrible. And the Hawks' effort is so inconsistent.
Is it coaching?
It's got to be
something. If you had someone, I'm not like Joe Quenneville-ish, would he not put up with it and you know, shake up line, do something?
It's a fair question. I don't know if they're taking advantage of a younger coach who doesn't have NHL experience, because they have a mix of veterans and young guys. And the idea of bringing Sorensen from Rockford was that to develop these young guys like Nazer and Korchinski, who's back at Rockford. But I think that when you see the inconsistency, it is a fair question to raise, and the frustration is just growing.
All right, let's get back to the Bears. Frederick has something to say about the coaching search on the South Side. Hey, Frederick.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good. Good, man.
I just don't understand the hankering here for Mike McCarthy, man. It seems like in the last 24 hours, Mueller, you've even joined David over here with this McCarthy stuff, man. Come on, man. Just because he sounds like a Southsider over by there, he got ran out of Green Bay. Did you remember the Green Bay game last year in the playoffs? They got smoked. We don't want that. Yeah, I take like an O'Connell. Give me your 12, 14 wins. Okay, they didn't make the playoffs, do well or whatever, but Mike McCarthy is no offensive guru. He didn't I don't know about this developing Aaron Rodgers and Dak Prescott. Come on, man. That's recidivism. We don't need Mike McCarthy. I'm just curious to what you're talking about. That's
Frederick,
it, man. Thanks.
Thanks, respect Frederick. Where you're coming from. You. There's a lot of that out there. I get it. I'm not pushing McCarthyism.
Let's hope not.
I know. But Mike McCarthy.
Are you now, or have you ever been, a member of the Communist Party?
Everything is relative, Frederick. And I think that relative to where the Bears have been and the success that has eluded them, I just look at Mike McCarthy as a safer option. And I've been honest about the fact that it's an understandable pivot, even though he's not going to be somebody that is able to galvanize the fan base. He can run your operation. He's not going to revitalize the organization.
You know, I've said what I like about Mike McCarthy is the fact that he is actively coaching in the league. He's been a head coach in the league actively for a very long time. He's called his plays. He is coaching. And you need someone that can come in here and do that at a level where they understand there's two sides of the ball and their specialty. The guy has been a head coach. Whether you like him or don't like him, there is an appeal to the fact that he's a working professional who would come in and clean up a lot of the nonsense. Would we have the same problems? There are definitely going to be problems.
He's had end-of-game issues, too.
Clock management's been a problem. This is not a perfect roster. Yeah. And we all understand that. But at least there would be a level of professionalism that we have not seen around here in a while.
And a level of achievement in the organization that is lacking right now. And I'll acknowledge that might be my blind spot. When I talk about why Mike McCarthy represents to me a feasible plan B, if Ben Johnson is your plan A and he's unattainable, I like the idea of adding somebody to the organization who at least has been there and done that and had success somewhere else. Because you know what? You look around the building at Alice Hall, and there's not a lot of examples of guys who have been successful.
He's 61 years old. He's an NFL lifer. He's been doing it a long time. And that's what appeals to me about it.
So Diana Rossini from The Athletic tweets out this morning, obviously news of Mike McCarthy interviewing with the Bears. Also, she adds this: Pittsburgh Steelers offensive coordinator Arthur Smith will also meet with Chicago and the New York Jets over the next couple days.
Okay. Well, we knew that. He was on the list.
He was on the list, but I don't know whether or not that will be in person.
Yeah. No, or will probably that be not.
Via virtual.
Virtual. He will virtually. Yeah. Thank you, buddy.
Okay.
We're trying to keep that one straight.
Yeah.
Mark is in Maywood. It's those little things that kind of get to you.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, you would say it's fair to say that Poles' future is tied to his next head coach. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, well, it's going to be McCarthy, and I'll tell you why. He's been a coach a long time, everything you guys just spoke to, and he's a safe pick. You pick one of these offensive coordinators that's maybe going to be a hit or miss. You don't know what you're going to get. And if they tank in 2 years, he's out, everybody's out. So I say it's McCarthy. Another indicator is, why are they bringing him in?
Right. You know, it's weird. Mark, he's 61 years old. Like, he's a grown man. He's been through the wars. They could use like a little generational football within the building. That's all I'm saying. They could use someone of age and experience to work with a young general manager. I know the game has changed, but he's been a part of that change.
Yeah, I think they need somebody who has some experience that they clearly lack at Hallis Hall. They may have a young first-time head coach again in Ben Johnson if they went that route, but the most experienced guy in the building under those circumstances would be your general manager, who is entering year four, and we still talk about Ryan Poles like he's somebody that is learning the job.
Which is, I mean, it's a long time to learn the job. But he was very young when they hired him, and they said they were going to let him learn the job. The problem I have is when George hires him, before he hires Kevin Warren, he hires him and he says, I'm sticking with him. I'm going to let him figure this out as he goes, etc. So that's kind of why I have been hesitant to jump on it. But now, if you're really looking...
It's not an internship.
It's not an internship.
You know, being general manager of the Bears shouldn't be something that you get a guy that you can mentor. You should get a guy that can win a Super Bowl and put a roster together that is a winning playoff caliber roster. This stuff about he's growing on the job and Kevin Warren likes him because of this and George hired him because of that,
I know.
It's kind of tiresome.
Doug's on the road. Hey, Doug.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Good. Just wondering what your thoughts are on Plan C. If they interview McCarthy and then they wait for Johnson, McCarthy gets picked up, Johnson doesn't want the job, then who's their seat?
That's a great question. I'd look at this as the feasibility options. You got Ben Johnson, you got Mike McCarthy. I think Pete Carroll, Brian Flores, and Cliff Kingsbury probably on that next tier. I don't know about the coordinators who haven't been head coaches before. I think they're intriguing. They're maybe qualified. They may end up being great head coaches, but they are inexperienced. And what we just said about bringing somebody into the building who has done it before still is valid.
So, you know, let's just say Joe Brady. Let's say the Bills are now underdogs in this game. So it's conceivable that Baltimore could go in there and win this game. That looks like a hell of a game. Two MVP-level quarterbacks going at it. Both teams have good running games going at it. The weather could be a factor. But if Baltimore wins that game, then you got Joe Brady. Where would he stand? Is he kind of like Ben Johnson? Is he Ben Johnson light? Or do you think he's a guy that could I don't know if there's a lot of Joe Brady's out there. Could someone text the quarterback and get him to call him up and have a chat with him?
That's a great question. I don't know the answer to it. There's a lot of possibilities out there, a range of coaching options the Bears are considering. Dan Wiederer, we're going to talk to him coming up because his finger on the pulse, and I wonder what he thinks about all the...
We'll make him give us a plan A, a plan B, and a plan C.
You know what, though? The Bears have 21
plans.
They're going through the alphabet. They have a plan A through Z.
They've got six more. They could get to a plan X, Y,
it's
Z.
It's the alphabet search.
Examine your zipper, Bears. 312-644-6767. Dan Wiederer joins us next on The Score.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Hike, hike.
Dan Wiederer.
You've got a guy with credentials, you got a guy with some qualifications, and now there's just, when done at its best, provides a level of steadiness and stability that helps create and stimulate success.
On-air contributor for 670 The Score.
Listen, we're not going to accept the status quo. We are going to push for more. We are going to strive for more.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Dan Wiederer with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Bear down. Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always fun to talk to our guy, Dan Wiederer, and he joins us on The Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Dan, good morning. How are you, bud?
I'm doing well. How are you guys today?
We are living the dream, and I think partly because Mike McCarthy's coming to town. I mean, yeah. Let's have a parade, ticker tape it up, let's go, roll out the red carpet, it's McCarthy time.
Yeah, where are they taking him? It'd be fun to be a fly on the wall of that tonight, to figure out where dinner's at and what they're getting to the bottom of.
Well, they only get 3 hours total, so
is it only 3 hours still, Dan? Do you know the parameters? Yeah. Are there restrictions on what they can and can't do?
I don't have it directly in front of me right now, but there are restrictions, and you know, we'll take a look at what those are and how they factor in. But boy, this is one tonight, right? One out of 25, 30. I don't know what we're up to now, but this is certainly one.
Well, let's talk about that. Debate, we talk a lot about the process, and all that matters is the outcome.
Yeah.
Why does the process matter in the way that we have described it as being somewhat unfocused and maybe excessive? And does it really matter if they end up with Ben Johnson?
At a minimum, it's unorthodox. And one of the words that was used to me over the weekend that bothered me was, it was actually a question on, is this somewhat performative? And it's a question on, like, are they going to these lengths to try to prove to the outside world that they're going to these lengths? Or do they truly believe that they are getting something out of every one of these candidates that is helpful to them in the long term? David, the problem I have with some of this is, again, we've talked about it. 3 years ago, 22 to 24 candidates participated in an interview process with them. And if those were such valuable learning experiences, why have they lost 36 games the last 3 years? What did George and Ted do with the binders of information that they compiled from all those interviews to pass on to the leaders of their building? And so that's the part that I think leaves a lot of people around the league scratching their head at what they're doing. But you are right that the end result of the process is going to be what we ultimately remember the most. And right now, the best case scenario is certainly in play with Ben Johnson still on the board and getting ready to coach a divisional game this weekend.
Let's rate the candidates. We're going to go 1 through 20. And then...
I got to get the kids to school at some time today, Molly. So, like, yeah.
But I'm just, can you give us a plan A, plan B? Do you have any sense of whether Ben Johnson is the guy, if McCarthy is legitimate, and what do they do if he does really well? Are they ready to move? No. Who would be plan C? Who would be, I just don't know. There's so many names and there's so many tiers when you think about it. And really there's like, you could break it up in so many different ways. What way would you say it looks like it's going, or is it impossible to say?
Yeah, it's impossible to say right now. I would say that there's little in my chatter that tells me that Ben Johnson isn't a viable option right now, right? And so now you've got to just kind of, like, if you're a Bears fan feeling very anxious about this process, you're rooting for the Commanders on Saturday night. You want the Lions out of the playoffs as soon as possible. You want those coordinators freed up as soon as you can possibly get them. And then you kind of accelerate the process as best you can. Look, like, there's been the chatter about Ben Johnson to Vegas and the Tom Brady appeal of that. The Raiders are much more unstable, or at least more unstable than the Bears have been. And the last time that they had a coach finish a fourth season with them was John Gruden way back in 2001. You're going back to the Tuck rule for the last time that they had any sort of sustained coaching leadership there that stuck around for a while. So that's a pretty big leap of faith to go there. I realize it's a leap of faith to come here, but at least the Bears have the Caleb Williams piece to sell and say, look, like, you've got this young quarterback who could be a key to unlocking a really bright future. And we've heard Ben Johnson publicly praise Caleb Williams and what he thinks of his skill set. So that's there. And then, like, I really do think that without rating them 1 through 20, you can kind of tier it a little bit and have a tier A, a tier B, a tier C, and a tier, as Mark Grody and I called it, a tier not right now, a tier of guys that yeah, it's great to talk to them, but there's no chance that you could introduce them at an introductory press conference and feel really good about the direction of your program.
Well, I just have a follow-up question to that, because I don't want to be negative or cynical, but it will sound that way.
You can be that.
Ask it, because so how do you explain, if it's in the tier not right now, the Adam Stenovich invitation,
that's
and
right now.
David Shaw even, and guys like that who wouldn't seem ready, or if you introduce them, you would do so and receive just like universal mockery, I think. But I just don't know the purpose of these interviews.
So like, I've got zero pushback to anything you said there. And like, their explanation, I believe, and we will wait for it for the time that they actually get around to talking to us again, that they believe that these interviews are providing them with valuable information on how other teams and other leaders do things around the league. My question is, why does a franchise that's been in the league since it began 105 years ago needs so much knowledge from the outside on how to run a successful football operation? It's been a problem forever. It continues to be a problem.
Yeah. I mean, I was saying to, you know, David Shaw worked with Andrew Luck and helped create. You know, I'm not saying that that's the whole interview, but there could be a kernel or two of information you take. You know, when you talk about the Packers, they made a transition, you know, to Jordan Love. You could talk about that. That could be useful information just moving forward. Who knows? And I don't know what, you know, how much truth there is in there. I mean, I would definitely be, hey, what's your favorite play and why do you think it works so well? I'm just saying.
No,
there is value to some of that stuff if you are really looking for it. And I don't know with the committee and with the way they supposedly are breaking up the – I don't know that they're getting to any of that. You know what I mean?
I do.
And I'm confused by some of the element of this that doesn't include offensive guys, that has like some defensive guy. I'm just not sure. I see great value in talking to Brian Flores. I do. I think that you can get into a conversation with him if you know what you're doing and find out how he likes to attack the Bears. That's good information, man. There is a possibility if you are just waiting to hire someone. But I mean, I'm trying very hard to wait and be patient and see who they hire before I criticize it. But I'm ready to strike.
And it's an okay feeling to have. And they've earned all of this, guys. And you know that as well as I do, that they've earned this skepticism and the criticism that they're receiving right now. And maybe they do get a lot of valuable information out of this process. The good news for us, and you guys know this as well as I, is that at least 19 people are going to talk to the Bears and not get the job. And so 3 months, 6 months, 9 months up the road, little kernels of information are going to come out on how the process went for them, positive, negative, and otherwise. And so we're going to learn a lot more about this process over time as we're able to cast some lines and get some information back from these people. And we'll get a feel for how productive, you know, the masses thought this process was, because this is a masses process right now that they're going through with all these candidates.
After McCarthy and Ben Johnson, who else is on your top tier?
Look, I love Todd Monken. I think Aaron Glenn, from people I've talked to, would be a really good hire for someone in this hiring cycle. I think Flores is worth a longer look. I'm trying to – there's so many. I'm trying to remember who else is on there. Obviously, Vrabel's off the board.
Pete Carroll?
Pete Carroll is – like, he'd certainly be at the bottom of my top tier, I think, just because I think the proven track record of knowing what it takes to build – a winner and then a sustained winner is something that would apply very quickly to a place that hasn't had sustained success in a long time. I've got some intrigue in Joe Brady, which is why for me, I'm trying to clear out the family calendar for this weekend so that I have no distractions during Baltimore Buffalo, because that's the best game of the weekend, in my opinion.
Who needs that game more? Which of the two quarterbacks?
Yeah, it's a good question. Both of them do, and both of them will likely earn a shot against Patrick Mahomes again, which is, I think, something that they're both eager for. Man, like what a game and what a season for both those guys, Lamar and Josh Allen. But you look at some of the stuff that Baltimore has done all season to take a two-time MVP and elevate him to yet another level. And then you hear from people at the University of Georgia that really respected Todd Monken and what he was able to do there. And you go, man, I hope the Bears spend a serious amount of time considering the thoughts and visions of Todd Monken, because he's been pretty successful over a long period of time.
What is your sense that today when Mike McCarthy meets with the Bears, that he is interviewing them as much as they are interviewing him?
I think that's going to be the case with all these candidates. And obviously Mike has more expertise and experience to know what derails a head coach or a program, you know, and what makes them successful. And so he's going to be able to ask very informed questions as a guy who's done it for a long time in multiple places. So look, like, I think he would definitely have the avenue to ask a bunch of questions, but they're certainly going to want to know where he's at in his career and what the mentality's like and what would be the appeal for him to come here. I mean, look, like, it's really easy to poo-poo Mike McCarthy. I don't know why. But when you go through just kind of the track record, the year by year of everything he's accomplished in that role, it's hard to marry up the perception of Mike McCarthy with the actual resume of Mike McCarthy. And that's something that Chicago might have to do today, tomorrow, and for the rest of the week.
Yeah, I keep asking the question, like, let's just say, and it doesn't have to be Mike, anybody comes in and really blows their mind, like really has ideas and a plan and – you know, I know this is a terrible thing to say, but apparently Mark Trestman was known for interviewing very well. And when he came in, you know, Dave told us, he sat here and told us that it was one of the best interviews he ever had with the guy when he was down in Miami. But he said that they said that the guy came in and he had like everything from the first second, he had it all mapped out from the first day on the job to winning the Super Bowl and the parade route. He went through like an unbelievable plan.
Yeah.
And let's say someone does that. Can they then stop whatever's going on? Can they end this and move for someone? Now, I know they could have done it already with Vrabel. They could have done it with Belichick. They could do it with Carroll or with Vrabel. That he's already a head coach. What do you think the possibility of that is?
Well, so look, you're going to have to be aware in those cases who is competing with you for said candidate, you know. And so if Mike McCarthy doesn't really have any other irons in the fire that are heating up, then you can take your time and talk to a few more people. But if you feel like, oh man, we really like him, we really want to have him, but somebody else is coming here to pluck him away from us, then you've got to be ready to respond and react. And Kevin and Ryan promised that they would be ready for all circumstances and all hypotheticals to occur. We'll see, you know, we'll see where they go. But, then you've got to weigh it against, do you really believe you have a serious chance at Ben Johnson? Is he your top choice? And if so, like, how do you then get that across the finish line? And so, look, like, there's a lot of heavy lifting here just to get the next head coach across the finish line of this process. And then, as you guys know, time is of the essence. You got to put together a staff. You got to get your coordinators hired. You got to get the process established so that when you walk into Indianapolis, or if you have time to get to the Senior Bowl as a coaching staff, you have processes in place to go scout the talent that you're going to need to draft to upgrade this roster to become a contender again. There's a lot of other teams around the league that have a little more stability and don't have to go through all this, but I think that the Bears are positioned to pounce if need be.
So McCarthy reportedly has an interview in New Orleans next week. The Bears are about halfway through all of the candidates that they have requested permission to interview. What is the earliest, Dan, that you think the Bears could hire a head coach?
I wish I could say. I mean, I don't know how determined they are to get to the end of this list of 20. And every couple days, right, it feels like it grows. You're like, oh, it's at 18. Whew, that's a lot. And then you're like, 19, 20? Like how high are we willing to tick up here with some of these names? So I don't know, David. I don't know where this timeline is. Look, like, this is a first kind of for Ryan to go through this process at this length. It's a first for Kevin to be heavily involved in a coaching search of this magnitude. And so there's not a track record here that we can go off of and say, well, this is what they did in 2008, or this is what they did whenever. Remember, you know, the Bears had competition for Ryan Poles from the Vikings 3 years ago, and then they didn't let Ryan go to that interview. They hired him. Both franchises might argue that they wound up down different paths because of that decision, but you guys can discuss that for the 8 o'clock hour and figure out what that means.
All right. We'll let you go, Dan, and appreciate your time. I'm just curious. Kevin Warren, you know, during that, and I felt it was absurd, the news conference on the Tuesday where you went over all the stuff and you got the plan and everybody looked at each other. One of the things he said when asked the question was that there's great momentum going with the new stadium, and everyone like, what are you talking about? And guess what? There's now some momentum. Now there's $466 million being talked about by the state, the speaker, Chris Welch, and the governor apparently is interested, the Michael Reese site. Does that give you hope about the coaching search? If he's right about this, maybe they get the other thing. No, I mean,
no, it doesn't.
No momentum.
Because, like,
okay.
This stadium stuff gets so complicated, and I don't know how we're suddenly at the Michael Reese site again. You know, like, I mean, like, this pinball game of where this thing's going to be is all over the place. And I get it that these are complex and involved, but man, there's a lot to this. And look, like, Kevin has been adamant for a while now that there will be a shovel in the ground somewhere in 2025. He needs to be held to that, because if there's not, then mistakes have been made in the process and the momentum wasn't real, and all the things that have been promised turn out to be hollow. And so, like, you guys can look down at your calendar and figure out that there's about 350 days left in this year. There better be a shovel in the ground in some site, whether it's your backyard or the Michael Reese site. There better be a shovel in the ground somewhere for a new stadium by the time we're at this point next year.
Great stuff,
great
Dan.
Great stuff, Dan. Thank you,
all
buddy.
All right, fellas. Be good. See
that you. Is Dan Wiederer with the Tribune. Take the North podcast, a must listen with Mark Brody.
I love that you are straining to find optimism in the report about the Michael Reese site and convert that into reason to believe in the coaching search.
I'm just trying
Mr.
to
Sunshine.
Find, you know, I'm always about the fresh outlook, buddy. That's the way I roll. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
I'm a winner. I know how to win. I've won a championship.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
He knows how to win.
That's Mike McCarthy. That's pretty good.
Getting a lot of pushback on the text line, thinking we're being a bit too positive about Mike McCarthy.
I'm being positive about everything. That's me.
That's you. Okay.
We just discussed
well,
it.
I have to tell you, I mean, if you've been paying attention the last couple of days, we've been getting a little bit of pushback about being too negative about the process.
You
I think
can't win here, David.
Some Bears employees would probably tend to agree with that, listening intently. I'll put Hallis Haw. I get it.
Get back on your Zoom call.
The one thing I will say this about Virtual. The scope of the process, we just talked to Dan Weider, who gave a good comprehensive look at everything, as he typically does. I think what this is telling me about how many people they're interviewing and the different backgrounds from which they come, the Bears do know what they don't know. We always say, well, you know, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
The Bears do know what they don't know. They don't know a lot, and maybe they're trying to gather information and an intel from the football
world
and
literally the world.
Yes.
20 candidates.
This could only be you mentioned it made me think when you mentioned this little nugget. Well, maybe David Shaw can tell him something about Andrew Luck that worked back with him and they can apply it to Caleb Williams. Maybe there's a lot of those little nuggets along the way that they're trying to gather, and this I kind of facetiously referred to it yesterday as a research project. But the more I think about it,
maybe
this
it
does
is.
Feel like a research project, because they're trying to make the best use of this time, because they're going to have to wait until theoretically February 10th to hire Ben Johnson if he is plan A. Then they're going to get as much football intelligence. It's probably not the way I would do it, but I'm trying to understand the way the Bears are doing it.
When we come back, and we still have some time. When we come back, we're digging up some audio of Caleb Williams. Caleb went on the St. Brown Brothers podcast. You would think that Amon-Ra would want to concentrate on the game this weekend, but it's only Washington, so he's still doing the podcast. And they got Caleb on it, and he's talking about what he looks for in a coach, etc. We'll get to that. Did you see that he got pranked by these young lads down in Florida?
Yeah, we mentioned that. And
the guy's name is Ben Johnson, right? Is that what it is? And so he reached out and told Caleb he was Ben Johnson, and he's going to be his next coach.
Mm-hmm.
And they had an exchange, and then Caleb FaceTimed him. And then, it was all – he realized it was just a dude pretending to be – well, he is Ben Johnson.
He fell for it. He fell for it, and
– yeah.
Caleb Williams was sort of mocked on social media for they had the video of him FaceTiming. It's unfortunate. It's the way the world is and works right now. And he fell prey to it. And I thought it was interesting for only one reason from a football perspective or a Bears perspective. Is he not in touch with the Bears throughout this process to the point where he would think that Ben Johnson would contact him directly?
That's the best question. You would think that as they're going through these guys, they might give a thought or two about him. You would think that, right? That Caleb could contact the general manager. Hey, how's it going? Well, we had this guy in, that guy in. You know, this Ben Johnson's an impressive guy.
I'd give him a daily update.
Yeah,
I'd email and text him every day.
Yeah, because I don't think he should find out. If he clearly believes he could find out who the next coach is via social media.
But if I were Ryan Poles,
I don't think that should be the case.
It should not be the case. Yeah. If I were a Bears executive, if I had a relationship
Great
with Caleb
point.
Williams that should be as strong as you want it to be with your franchise quarterback, I'd give him a daily update. I would text or phone call. Well, however they communicate. However they, on a regular basis. You know how... It's like keeping in touch with somebody in your family or your kids or whatever.
Right.
It's like, okay, how you doing? What's up today? What'd you do today? You working out? You doing this? You doing that? Oh, you know what? We interviewed so-and-so. I think that's fair and it's appropriate. You don't have to value his input. He's not dictating the course of your search, but you do want to keep him abreast of what you're doing.
You know, the Bears had a coaching search one time, and there was a guy that I was in touch with, and he was out hunting, and I would just call him every day and give him the update that I heard. And when he came back from his hunting trip, he became like a close friend because he really appreciated it. It's a great way to develop a source.
Did he give you some deer meat?
Yeah.
Some venison.
We're gonna get a lot of people want to talk. When you get your calls, we're gonna hear from Caleb next. Mully and Holmes.